I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, guess who's back?
Who?
It's just me. It's literally just me. No. Buttons, you're there.
Hi, I'm here too.
Anyone else, Dan?
I'm here.
I thought we all just walked through a portal at different times. I arrived first.
I'm always second.
Yep, and then Dan's behind dropping books as he goes. But we're through into this world. We're back. This is the Cryptid Factor, your favourite podcast about, well, what is it about? How do you sum it up?
It's about every month or so.
the podcast itself, of course, is a cryptid, and so we're proud to find it on occasion and rescue it from the deep dark woods where it's hiding, and it comes out to feed. I guess here we are now, feeding in the middle of the night, or three different time zones, if you will. LA for me, just after lunch. Where are you, Buttons?
I'm back in New Zealand again. I don't know where I live anymore.
You escaped that prison. You got deported from the States.
And now I'm back in the gymnasium.
Oh, good.
Gymnasium studio.
Something
for me
you picked
today.
Up from prison life, obviously, keeping fit.
Doing my best.
That's what they do, isn't it? They always they get real muscly so they can escape.
I'm doing what I can. Whereabouts are you, Dan?
I'm in London, Crystal Palace, my HQ. Yeah.
Great.
Hey, I read a really funny thing the other day about the idea of Buttons having been in prison. I was reading about El Chapo. You know, he's on
Netflix TV show.
Yeah, so he famously broke out of jail, right? They built this mile-long tunnel in order to break him out. And it turns out that when they initially built it, they brought it up underneath his shower, but they got the wrong cell the first time they did it.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
no.
Almost blew the whole thing by breaking into Buttons' cell instead.
I would be like, no, you've got the wrong place, guys. I'm so sorry.
I mean, I'm willing to come out if this is a big escape plan. That'd be a great movie. He actually does get out. The guys who are doing the tunneling don't really know what the guy looks like that they're retrieving. Yeah. And he goes through with them. 2 miles down the road, comes up into the forest to the special headquarters. Right, we've got him. We've got Chappy. Hi. Who the hell's this?
No, really, I'm a Mexican drug lord. Really? Yeah. No, I love drugs. I've got paracetamol. I've got all the drugs.
Wait a minute. I know this guy. You're in prison for parking fines. year, 25 years of unpaid parking fines, but thanks for the escape. See ya. Takes off with the car. No, that's under my name.
Parked on double yellow lights. Oh, there he is.
Well, it's good to be back, bringing you the latest and greatest in weird news, cryptozoological expeditions, findings, everything you need to know about the, I hate to say the word paranormal, but I guess it's kind of the unnormal. You know why? Because when I think of para, I think of para-trained. You know, ex-military, there's no parachutes.
Mm.
I came this close to being para-trained.
Really?
But now I'm just paranormal.
What? Is that what they actually call it? Para-trained?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's when you're a paratrooper, you've been para-trained.
Yeah, para-trained.
But that's kind of like, then there's the Paralympics, and then there's, that all gets very confusing.
Actually,
then.
That is weird, isn't it? Why? There's no parachutes in the Paralympics.
No.
And do I have to even go the parakeet? I mean, where does that fit in? What about para? Remember that shop in New Zealand?
No.
Para, the indoor-outdoor store. I think it went under in the end. But it's where you used to buy your cheap jandals. All right, let's kick into some weekly world weird news.
Weekly world weird news.
It's crazy, it's freaky, watch out.
Okay, why don't I start this week? I've been obsessing over AI. I think it's pretty scary stuff that's going on. This is a headline that I spotted this week. There is now an AI-powered robot that can find Wally immediately. No matter what page, no matter which book.
Oh, wow! My God. This is the start of the end, guys. This is how they predicted it in the Terminator movies.
Yeah. This is a robot that's been fed 62 Wally heads and 42 full-bodied Wallys from Google Image Search, and it's memorized it. And so you can see a picture of it. It's quite an exciting robot.
Just for the American listeners, Dan's talking about Waldo.
That's right.
Because it's Where's Waldo over here, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
They say Where's Waldo, but we're talking about the chap in the red and white striped top who pops up in many adventures. You've got to find him. And there's other characters too, isn't there?
Yeah, there's an evil Wally.
There's a wizard.
Yeah, there's a wizard. There's a dog.
Yeah.
Well, there's a whole page of characters, to be fair. All...
No, but there's like six main characters.
Right.
A fantastic book series, by the way.
Okay, so as you can see, they've created the arm and they've put a fake rubber hand to point out exactly where Wally is. Let's see if you can see from this video.
Wow, look at it.
Wow.
It's searching for Wally. Oh, wow, so it breaks it up.
Finds every face. Wow.
So the hand shoves down onto the page, and we found Wally.
My only issue with this little hand thing, so for the audio listeners here, which is most of you, there's a robot, a little robot device, and it has a little mechanical arm on it, and on the end of it is a little, small little plastic hand. But instead of pointing as a finger, which you'd think it would be, it's just like a little baby's doll hand that just goes down. All five digits are just sort of hanging down, and that's what's being flomped onto the book after it's searched for where it thinks Waldo is. Very obviously very accurate, although when the hand does come down, you know, you just got to still search within that area of the hand. You'd think it would go down to one single pointer.
Yeah.
It's a little odd.
Also, you're bound to find Wally if you just shove your whole hand on the page.
Yeah. You
know? Where's Wally?
Where's the accuracy there? Yeah.
In fact, the bigger the hand, the easier it is to find on the small page. They should have used a huge hand and just dumped it down. There it is. Whereabouts? Can you pinpoint?
No, it's there. Next page. But it's interesting because these AI, they're suddenly getting into pop culture and retroness. So they're training them to answer all the things that we were trained to do as kids that helped us to spot things better or cognitively understand, like a Rubik's Cube. There is currently an AI robot up in the International Space Station called Cimon, C-I-M-O-N, and it's helping astronauts to solve Rubik's Cubes. and it's a floating robot head. I'm going to share this with you again, this screenshot here. This is Simon here.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yes.
You know that the space station is really dredging the bottom of the experiment drawer. You're just like, what experiment can we do next, guys? Well, how about we get a robot to teach astronauts how to do the Rubik's Cube and compare that to how a robot would teach an astronaut to do a Rubik's Cube on land?
You're saying they've got too much money and too much time on their hands?
Yes. Well, and they've done all the experiments. They've done all the good ones. Do plants grow in space? Tick. Yep, they do. What next?
And it's basically a floating head. I wonder if they attach all of these things together. You've got the floating head Rubik's Cube solving AI. If you attached the AI hand of the Where's Waldo scenario, you'd have a hand that can find Waldo, a head that can solve a cube. All you need now is a couple of legs. And this machine is really coming together.
The legs could do Twister.
Yeah,
well, and they're
sussed. Yeah, someone just calls up now. Look, and I've got a robot here that it's only two legs, but boy, can it do Twister! It can solve any twisted twister, even swisted sistered twisted sister, in under 4 minutes. But we just need to attach it to some arms and head systems. We're talking about the ultimate party robot here. Yeah. Hey guys, I've got quite a few things I can do as long as it's the Cube, Twister, or Where's Wally? And maybe the other arm gets attached and it opens bottles. It's a bottle opener. It's the perfect party AI.
That's actually, funnily enough, very similar to how my parties go.
Is it?
Well, in my theory, it's me. I was basing it on parties I've been to at your place. the Buttron, because it's basically Voltron. With these different powers connected.
It'll be good at quizzes as well, because the technology that Simon is using is a technology that powered a machine that won Jeopardy. It was the first AI machine to win the TV show Jeopardy, beat two champions.
Oh. But if AI could work in Jeopardy and now it's doing Where's Waldo, surely that's a regression in intelligence.
No, but they don't want to skip things because they don't want to get to the point of being the all-seeing, all-powerful robot and then some human slips in a quick game of snakes and ladders and goes, hey, have you done this one? And the guy goes, the robot's like, oh, does not compute, too simple, cannot work it out. So you've got to, I mean, that's definitely how they're going to talk, by the way. So you definitely got to sort of slip in a bit of Where's Waldo and a couple of Twister games on the way through. Otherwise, Buttron 3000 will not be the all-time party defender that we're hoping it's going to be.
I am Buttron 3000. No relation to Andre.
Good. Well, we'll start off with a bit of Twister. And I hear you did pretty well at the... what was that game you played? What was that game show you talked about?
Jeopardy.
Oh, Jeopardy. Yeah. Here's my other worry with the Where's Waldo situation, because I was thinking one of my plans, post-apocalyptic plans, and I'm sure you've all got, you know, your own plans for when disaster does strike, and there's a whiteboard. I know there's one in my office that says got, you know, different columns, obviously zombie apocalypse, natural disasters, you know, alien invasion, Noah's Flood 2, the sequel. You know, there's various options and what I'm going to do. And I've got bullet points, you know, obviously mask and snorkels definitely there for the Noah's one, and things like that. And one of my getaways from AI, which is another post-apocalyptic end of the world scenario where robots take over. Obviously, that's a big one people are worried about. One of mine was to dress up as Wally and just absolutely disappear, because no one, it's really hard to find a dude in a white and red striped sweater. Yes. So I was hoping that was going to be my plan. Now, obviously, someone's seen my whiteboard and thought, right, we're going to have to suss out the AI situation on how we find this little bugger.
There's a huge flaw in your Wally plan, which is as soon as word gets around that there's a guy that you can't find in a red and white suit, you'll be the most hunted man on the planet.
The most hunted man on the planet.
And also, your plans for the second Noah flood,
Yes.
I hope you've run them by your family, because if they're looking to you as the savior and they come in and you hand them a snorkel, I don't think you've really thought that through.
That's high up on the list. The list does go down further. There's obviously a mini submarine and then a larger submarine. It's all budget, constraints. But there's a dream list, and then there's, what do I have at the moment? And so I've got my column of what do I have at the moment, mask and snorkel, towels, flippers, connections to the Navy is actually written up there too, which is good. So I imagine, the flood's starting to rise. I go, right, straight to the naval base, knock, 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 put the arm up, mate, there's my old Army ID. Oh, Darby, you still with us? Well, a few years out now, but all right, so you got your mask and snorkel kit. Yeah. Any chance the family and I can come through? You're most welcome, my friend. Obviously, there's nothing much left of the base now, but grab yourself a flutter board and we'll head to the ship. That's another thing on my list, obviously. I got four flutter boards. Actually, only three and a chili bin lid. A lot of these terms will be going over people's heads if you're listening, but...
Yeah.
Please do question us at a later date and I'll tell you what all these things mean.
Well, that takes me nicely into my weekly World Weird News, talking about the Navy.
Yeah.
Because a university in the United Kingdom has come up with the reason why the Bermuda Triangle is so deadly, and they think they've cracked the mystery.
Ooh.
It's pretty exciting because they believe the answer and the mystery, wait for it, are 100-foot waves.
Right.
Yeah. So they believe that...
Rogue waves. You're talking about rogue?
Rogue waves from different storm systems coming into the Bermuda Triangle at the right time can push sea currents up against each other and create freak 100-foot waves. They say when a storm comes from the south and the north and comes together, these waves can obviously take out ships, they can take out aeroplanes.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Buttons, here's my big question. How big are these waves? They're not taking out aeroplanes, come on.
Well, if a plane is flying at 100 or 99 foot, and it, it gets a little bit of a lick of a sea, big wave.
A little bit of a lick of the sea, did you say?
We're flying.
How far are we flying here?
Well,
how high?
Well,
100 foot?
199 foot high. So,
who's flying that low to the sea? On the off chance they might get a bit of a lick of the sea and get dropped down. Oh, I got a bit of water on the wings. We're going down.
Well, this is why I say I'm a little bit sceptical, because the University of Southampton, who are the ones who have come up with this...
Oh, they're notorious for their theories.
I've been there. I've been to that university. They're good.
Oh, really? They are? You like them, do you?
Yeah, yeah. They actually train people for the Navy there. They have these swimming pools and these one-man boats. You hop in a boat.
It's called a kayak.
No. It looks like a ship. Like, it's a mini... It's made a model of a ship,
oh, really?
Basically. Yeah. So you hop in the middle. It's very cool.
That's the thing. They've created a model of the USS Cyclops.
Yeah, it's like that stuff.
Yeah, which disappeared in 1918 with 306 people aboard. They've created these two storm systems, and which created a scaled version of a 100-foot wave, and it swamped and sunk this USS Cyclops model. So they have deducted from that's the mystery. It's all done. We're just going to show you the piece of artwork that is created for this. It shows a massive wave taking out the front of a 747 aircraft. It's legit, Reese. Stop being such a naysayer. Yeah.
Look, you know me. I am a big believer in exciting, ridiculous scenarios. But for a start, I know those planes, travel at 36,000 feet. And
it might have just been sightseeing. It might have come down for a little quick look at the Bermuda Triangle.
That whole fleet of World War II planes that went down. Waves. Yeah. Okay. Now that's great. That's great, guys. Look, I'm a believer in rogue waves, absolutely. But what's really going to blow this theory out of the water literally, because it's not a plausible theory, is the fact that, and this is my news, very recently, and this has come up, this was sent to me by one of my researchers, a treasure hunter claims he found evidence of a USO, which is unidentified submerged object, one of my favorite things, beneath Bermuda Triangle. A treasure hunter has made an astonishing, unexplained discovery deep beneath the Bermuda Triangle. He believes could provide the first evidence of an extraterrestrial visit to Earth hundreds of years ago. Explorer Daryl Miklos has been using secret maps created by his close friend and famed NASA astronaut, Gordon Cooper, who, by the way, has seen weird objects up in space and does believe in extraterrestrial vehicles. So he's fully behind it. He's given this explorer secret maps of the oceans. Where he got those from, I have no idea. Maybe it'll come up in this article. To find shipwrecks in the Caribbean.
Yeah. Well, no, you know where he got them from. The maps. No. He made them from space.
Oh, really?
He looked out the window and he saw these patches and he started building treasure maps up in space, and that's what he's handed over.
Oh, that is awesome.
Isn't that cool? It's a treasure map from space.
That is very awesome. Cool. So this article also originally Daily Mail, and it's been sprouted out to various other UK ones. I'll talk about tabloids in a minute, actually, and about the realness of stuff that's being filtered through tabloids so that it looks like a joke. Mm-hmm. But we'll talk about that later. Mm-hmm. So this is also being filmed for Discovery Channel, Cooper's Treasure, which looks like it's going to be a great show. Using maps put together in the 1960s by Cooper to identify more than 100 magnetic anomalies in the Caribbean, Miklos dived at an undisclosed location near the Bahamas to investigate what he thought could be an ancient shipwreck. But instead, the veteran treasure hunter found a bizarre structure like nothing he's ever seen. The huge unidentified submerged object, USO, has 15,300 feet long obtrusions jutting from its side. In an exclusive interview, which is no longer exclusive because I'm going on about it as well, he described what he found while filming episode 7 of Cooper's Treasure. Oh, look. He tells how he and his team want to bring the alien spaceship to the surface.
Yes.
Wow.
He says, we were doing a scene where I was sitting in a two-man submersible. We were out in the Bahamas and we were on an English shipwreck trail, somehow related to Sir Francis Drake. This story just keeps getting cooler. I was trying to identify shipwreck material based on one of the anomaly readings on Gordon's charts when I noticed something that stuck out, that shocked me. It was a formation unlike anything I've ever seen related to shipwreck material. It was too big for that. It was also something that was completely different from anything that I've seen that was made by nature.
What?
It's almost like there are five arms coming out of a steep wall cliff, and each one of these is the size of a gun on a battleship. They're enormous, and then there's five over here and five over there, 15 in total. There's identical formations in three different areas, and they don't look nature-made. They don't look man-made. Certainly nothing I've seen based on my experiences, and I have years of experience in doing this. We've identified multiple different types of ship materials, shipwreck materials. This doesn't match or look anything like that. The deepest part of the site is 300 feet below the surface. Divers had to use special breathing apparatus and state-of-the-art submarines to access it. The explorers also found other bizarre and unexplained formations around the main object, all of which are covered in thick coral, which he believes are hundreds, if not thousands, of years old. Wow. So this article goes on and on, but basically he's convinced he's found a huge alien spaceship right underneath in the Bermuda Triangle.
That's incredible.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's always been talk about a UFO base underneath the Bermuda Triangle. I like that theory. I like the idea that there is a base down there and that, yes, they are taking off from there because it's a nice big bunch of ocean where land is so far away from parts that you can't see things come out. And there also, you know, there's a theory that, yes, there's a weird energy down there that can be pulling things via vacuum that travel over the top and can suck things down. And maybe they're taking them down because they are requiring those things. They're doing experiments on either the human entities in them or the machines themselves. Yeah. That could have been there for millions of years. Or this could be a crashed UFO, because we know this happens quite often. And this is a huge mothership-style one that's actually crashed into the sea millions of years ago and has just been there, sitting
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be cool, in theory, that extraterrestrials would have been discovered by someone who first spotted them as an extraterrestrial, as in wasn't on Earth. He was up in space looking down.
Yeah.
Yeah, life of another planet was found by someone who wasn't on the planet. This is Cooper.
Wow.
The astronaut.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand what you mean. But
well, he drew the Cooper, the astronaut, drew the map from space, so he wasn't on Earth. He was,
oh, I
he
see.
Was,
he found it.
Yeah, he was in space. He was in the ISS.
Right, right, right. Yes, good. Now,
well, what, just quickly before we go on to our cryptozoology news, I've just got one little recap to play from the UFO conference that Reese and I went to, that we covered in the last episode.
Oh, wonderful.
Reese and I, whilst we were there, as well as going to some amazing talks and hearing some wonderful professionals in the field give their opinions on ufology, Reese and I also took the time to talk to a bunch of the audience members and actually just quiz them on their experiences. And it was an amazing time meeting all these very like-minded and open-minded people. But I created a quick little audio snippet of them, which I can play to you guys now, if you like.
Yeah.
So I have contact every day of my life. Well, not every day of my life, but since I can remember, even when I was a kid, I was getting contacted. But then you know how everybody tells you that those are invisible people, and those are invisible friends, and then you start to believe that they are, and then they kind of leave you for a while, and then they come back to me. They came back to me in 2004 in Mexico, in Cabo San Lucas, for 3.5 hours on that day, and then they've been following me ever since, hundreds of thousands of them.
We got in the car. Now, we're driving an old 1954, I'm pretty sure it was, DeSoto. Now, it would only go like 60, 65 miles an hour. And so she had to pedal to the metal. I mean, we were wanting to get home because we knew we were in trouble.
How did you two meet?
We actually met at a conference up in a place called Big Bear, and the guys that put it on didn't advertise it enough, and it's kind of out of the way. Only 60 paying people showed up. It was real nice. It was just one room, and you know, it was like everybody there got to know everybody that were there, and that's how we met.
Basically, you can't run, you can't hide, because they can come through everything, the walls, the windows, the wood, the metal, everything they can come through, and so you can't run from them.
And all of a sudden, the radio started crackling, and then you hear this sound like taking a rope and spinning the rope around above your head, and it makes like a whirling, swishing noise. And then right after that, this flying saucer literally came right to the right of us and just literally just hung there. It just was right there beside us.
So UFOs brought you two together?
Yes, definitely. And it's great because we're like-minded. He's been interested in the field for a long time. Me and Mom have experiences. That's what brought me there. I'm with somebody who can understand and tolerate that we have some contact here.
And so I think everybody has them. I just happen to have 100,000 of them following me. Okay, so through...
Does that ever freak you out, having 100,000 orbs following you?
Yes, it did, really. In the beginning, it freaked me out.
Drop! And what is so crazy is we couldn't move, and she still had her foot on the pedal, all the way to the floor, and we weren't going anywhere.
Like, did it feel like time had stopped or the car had stopped?
Like time had stopped, yeah.
And I also like all the people. The people here, we're all like-minded, and we're all genuine. And that's why we come here, there's just real people here, and that's what I like. It's nice.
Wow.
Awesome, man.
That is awesome. And that's exactly why I liked it as well. It's because everyone was genuine. It was a good feeling. It felt like a real positive community of people who knew the truth, wanted to know further the truth, and wanted to be around people that were comfortable with knowing that we're not alone and we're okay with it and could even have fun with it, who weren't scared but knew that it was very important, and who wanted to basically further who they were as humans, because we're stuck in these little cases and stuck within these parameters. And that's not what life is about. We need to escape. We need to get off this planet. We need to see the rest of the universe. We need to mingle and be part of every other, you know, living species in every star system. So I think I would just wish more people would get behind it, and then we can use our friendly masses to sort of barge through those doors of eternal truth.
Wow. You okay, mate?
I just want to know what song you're going to put behind my speech. I'm so hoping funny. for Kermit the Frog, you know, when he's sitting why are there so many songs about rainbows? What's on the other side? If you could just put that beneath my speech. Awesome.
It's either that or Insane in the Membrane.
Don't you dare.
Maybe I'm crazy.
Attention, all personnel. It's time for this week's cryptid. Oh, help me!
Cryptid news this week. Obviously, you know, I say this week, but there's probably been 2, 3, possibly 4 weeks since we've been on air. So there's definitely an abundance of stuff we can talk about. But one of the big ones that I found was this golem-like creature, which was spotted in Canadian woods. This was all over the different tabloids and regular press articles as well. I'm taking this one from Express, which is a UK paper.
Right.
A mysterious golem-like creature was seen stalking a moose at the edge of a forest in Quebec, Canada. The white figure watched on as the moose was grazing the grass. So it was filmed. It was caught on video. The intriguing video was reportedly filmed on July 29th, as I say, in Quebec, Canada. The witness says, "I was filming a moose on the roadside. Her name's Audrey. She recorded the footage. Looking at the video, I saw this strange shape at the back left." And she says, "Can someone tell me what it is?" Now, we'll put the video up. Oh, right. There we go.
So here's a moose.
So as you can see it on the left there, behind the moose, there's a weird golem creature coming out from the woods. And it's got long, spindly arms. And it's bald. And it's got weird movements. And you see it sort of going back and forth, like a jutting. It's not quite sure what it's doing. And there has been some people comment that they think it only moves when the camera moves, and that it's some sort of bug or something on the screen of the camera.
No.
And it's before you know it, it's over.
No.
But have a look at it another few times and see what you think, because some internet users have noted that the creature looks a bit like Gollum from Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm. Kind of looks a little bit like a little Slender Man as well, or something.
Yeah. Yes, it does, because it has very long, slim front arms. I say front arms, but that's because it seemed to me like it was on all fours, and it's got rear arms as well, which also are known as legs in certain terms and certain circles.
My horse has a problem with its rear arms.
Well, I'll tell you the problem. Their legs. No. They can't be. He doesn't stand. Well, he's standing now. No, he's on all four arms. No, those last two at the back there are legs, my friend.
So what do you think it is, Reese?
Well, I mean, you know, the jury's out. It could be a reptilian alien.
Mm-hmm.
It could, you know, unfortunately, it's too far away to really to be able to zoom in on it. But I, you know, it's you would probably see it when you had your screen up and you're looking at it. When you're filming the moose, you'd probably see something back there and then go, oh, hang on, that's then zoom in on that rather than the very boring moose. Moose, by the way, do not move. They're famous for it. It's one of their defensive protective mechanisms is to stand still so they can't be seen. And but it also makes sense that this creature might have been coming out of the forest spotting this huge thing and thinking, oh, I'll have a bit of that. That's dinner tonight. But unfortunately, we don't see any more. We don't know if the moose is attacked or anything. So
Dolan might have been filming the moose as well. It might have been quite a spectacular moose. They might have both been...
It could have been all about the moose. Gollum could have been like, what the hell's this? I can't wait to get this back to the ship. I got footage of something here that's definitely not the usual human-looking thing.
Gets home and Gollum starts showing his mates, look at this weird moose thing. They go, what? Is that a car with a woman filming it in the background?
What's that in the background there? Yeah, I think you've got some footage of an actual human car woman there. No, that'll be just part of the something on the screen, I think.
What is a golem? I know Gollum from Lord of the Rings is a sort of a man who turned into a monster over time.
I mean, it's very alien-like as well. When you think of the greys and you think of the long spindly arms and things like that, which makes people believe that it could be an alien.
Yeah.
And basically a golem is similar to a grey, but it's definitely got longer appendages. And it's got that idea of it doesn't have a huge head. So it's got the smaller, I'm picturing definitely Gollum. When I think about golems, my precious, big eyes or whatever. But these images of these things have probably been around for centuries. And, through folklore and then into fantasy books, creating these types of creatures that might live in caves or whatnot. But in actual fact, the reality is they're probably extraterrestrials. They're probably greys. They're probably aliens back in the day that people have then made into fairy tale characters.
That's true. That's a really interesting point.
Now, underneath that one, I'm just trying to decide what track I want. If you could play Near, Far, Wherever You Are, and I know. I don't know why, but I just think something like that might be uplifting for us all to realize that we are together. We're brothers and sisters. No matter what planet we're from, we can connect. We just need to come together. Stop filming each other from a distance and making it and speculating as to whether we are real or not. Just actually come out and introduce each other. Don't be shy.
Hop out of the car. Go over and talk to the little scary golem thing that might rip your head off.
That's what you'll be good for, Buttons. You've got to be with your big hugs and your big happiness, your positive, optimistic outlook on life. We need to send you and obviously Dan and I in the background, just slightly behind you.
Just a little bit behind.
Yeah, behind you with weaponry, nets, maybe just some books, some things like that. Dan will have a various array of, translation books and devices, and I'll have a big pad so I can draw. And we'll go through and we'll meet all the different alien species. We should be the ones being sent through.
I can see it. Oh, they've eaten Buttons. They've eaten Buttons. Let's go.
And as soon as he's gone, because, if something does go, we'll be out of there. I mean, with my connections, I'll have a NASA device on my wrist, which I'll be able to push, and I will instantly zap back into my dimension. Dan will have to make a run for it.
Yeah, I've got one of your snorkels.
You'll get the button wrong and hit the connection to the Bluetooth speaker, and suddenly going start playing your favorite Celine Dion tracks. Yeah. That's what's going to happen.
And the aliens will go, "I love Celine Dion."
Oh my god!
Of course, you know who brought down the Titanic. They'll say, "What? No, you guys?
No,
absolutely, yep." There was the big ship underneath the Bermuda Triangle. We sucked it down, my friend. Wow, we knew it. Everything comes back full circle.
Onto my wee little bit of cryptid news. We've got a giant hairy sea monster washed up on the shores in Russia.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, yeah, it's quite amazing. The amazing thing with it is it's a hairy sea monster covered in white hair and big long tentacles. It's washed up on the eastern coast of Russia, right over the very far eastern side. It's got locals completely baffled. It's this huge, smelly carcass, and it just turned up. So a couple of people walking on the beach obviously found it in your classic way. The smell, they smelt it first, and they see this huge thing with a great big long tail or tentacle coming out of it. And the hair on it, all this white hair, is like tube-like hair or fur that's covering it.
Oh, that's freaky.
Yeah, it's reported to be sort of larger than three men. They can't see any head or eyes or defined kind of features that would give it a face or anything like that. But they say that half of it seems to be actually buried in the sand. So there needs to be excavated to be able to get it up to see them, quite likely. The head's down there. Now there's a bunch of people that are actually suggesting it could actually be like a woolly mammoth or something like that, some really? Ancient animal that's sort of been released from permafrost, sort of undersea
yes.
permafrost.
With ice melting.
Yeah.
If it was kept in ice for millions of years, and then as with global warming, things melted.
Yeah.
And has been released, it has then just become part of the ocean and has swept itself up onto land.
And the tubular hair makes sense then, because I don't know if woolly mammoth's hair was tubular, but certainly, tubular hair is good for insulation and keeping animals warm in Arctic conditions, so that could make sense.
Really need to know about the bone structure, really, don't we? Has it got any bones?
This article hasn't said that they've dissected or anybody's gone to it yet of any sort of scientific nature. But they do say, the other people say, it sort of have likened it to a hairy octopus or something way more marine based. So they certainly say it's very, very strange. Other people are liking it to the globster, obviously the Tasmanian sea creature that was washed up in the 60s.
Mm, the footage is amazing. If you see, it's worth, if you're listening to this right now, check it out online. It's extraordinary. It looks like a gigantic, primitive, wet dog that's just come out of the ocean, ready to shake its fur all over.
Wow! This is good. You can really see it. Looks like a big sheepskin rug.
Yes.
Doesn't it?
Well, look at that. It's the tentacle kind of tail part.
Yeah, that's odd.
Look at that. Look at the size of his shoe. You know, the thing is that you know how carpet, when you've got wet carpet, it smells really bad. Maybe this is like somebody's massive shag pile rug, which they sort of like came off a sailing ship or something like that.
A huge sailing ship.
Yeah.
Now, have you got everything on the ship? Have you got your ginormous sheepskin rug that we're going to be having? We know they go perfect with water. So just bring that out. Use a crane to lower it onto the ship, and the whole back deck is going to have a massive sheepskin rug. So we're going to be real comfy and lounging about in the evenings. Oh, hang on, there's a bit of wind. Oh, no, the waves.
Oh, God.
It's a 100-foot rogue wave. I know we shouldn't have gone across the Bermuda Triangle. We've lost the sheepskin. Oh, it's gone overboard. Not to mention it was still alive, Nigel.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to tell you about that, but fuck, it was actually a pet, you bastard.
Oh, that's floating off to Russia. That's the end of that. Still alive.
That'll confuse those Ruskies, won't it?
Yeah.
Just speaking of confusing, can I just, for the sake of clarity for the listener, when Budden said, look at the size of that shoe, he was talking about the person in the video as opposed to the sea monster. The sea monster itself wasn't wearing shoes. Which is what it sounded like.
It's unusual about the creature. It had shoes on its back arms.
Very.
On the rear arms.
Well, that's a good find. That's a good, very good find. We'll have to put these up on the Facebook. I like that one. What have you got, Dan?
I also got a water-based cryptid. This is a report that comes from China. This is a Canas Lake Scenic Park in China that has spotted a monster. It's got footage showing four objects moving in the lake and leaping out of the water. What's really interesting about it, I reckon, is that it is not just a person visiting the park who has said it. It is, in fact, a park ranger who has claimed that they have seen what is known as the Chinese Loch Ness Monster. Yeah, so this is in Xinjiang, and this is the guy called Wang Xin'an. He is the person who made the discovery of this video, but the monster itself has been seen in this lake many, many times before. This is the first sighting of 2018, so I have a feeling that this is one of those, very much like Nessie, where there are sightings all the time. We just haven't really heard about this Canas Lake monster before.
It doesn't quite have the press that obviously the famous Nessie does. But
yeah, but look at that. I mean, it's a beautiful lake. It's
wow.
And as you can see here, it started being reported, this lake monster, in 1980. I'm going to play the video now. Here we go. So what he says is he sees these ripples that are going across the lake. And he says what's interesting about them is that they're going against the current. So that immediately suggests to him that this is not a wave, which many people have suggested.
Yeah, it is definitely going against the current. You can see
there's
that.
Certainly, yeah, there's an anomaly.
Yeah, so it's a freshwater lake that this is in. This is in the top. It's very near Russia, actually, when you look on the map. It's sort of nearing the border. And it's 390 feet deep as a lake. So that's massive, yeah. So you could hide large creature in there should you need to, for the size that it is.
That's great. We can add that to the list, and when we go and looking for lake monsters, that'll be our first stop in China.
Oh yeah.
So talking about global media and the conglomerates, the power that let us see what they want us to see and siphon things through various channels, anything important, anything that is real or frightening or could be construed as a cover-up by any means will not come through general big media. It is filtered down through the tabloids, which is all owned by the same conglomerates. But for the idea that therefore it could be pertained as joke, you know, and so you can
discredit it.
This is where all the UFO stuff comes up, you know, and generally. And anything encrypted like this, and so you can share it, you can talk about it, but ultimately, you know, because of the source, you can't have any kind of strength behind the idea of it. You know, it's scientifically not plausible in some way. And all you have to do is accept that those are the only channels that are going to be putting this, that they're going to let this go through. And ignore the fact that tabloid media has the name that it has. You know, some of these crazy headlines obviously are ridiculous. You know, Elvis had, you know, twin babies on Mars and things like that. You don't need to buy those kind of things. But in some of these, and by the way, that's the extreme, the Examiner or whatever, you know, those really bad tabloid ones. But just these regular kind of news, normal everyday newspapers, which are still tabloids, you know, these things are the best source to find, is to actually filter through and find the truth.
You know the song that's going to go under that?
What? What have you chosen?
I'm so high.
Cypress Hill. I can't wait to hear this episode. It's actually a new part of the show, my monologues, which we need sound bases on them.
Yeah, great idea.
What should we call those? We have to come up, see if you guys come up with a name.
Yeah.
Because when I go into one, you're going to have to go, there's going to be a noise of some sort.
Yeah.
And then it'll go into a track.
Oh, I got one. Dar Beats.
Dar Beats.
Okay, yeah.
I'll message you guys with more ideas throughout the evening.
Yeah, that's a good starter. I don't know if it's the ender.
Well, I've got nothing yet, so.
No, that doesn't surprise me. I shouldn't have to come up with it. I'm the guy coming up with these monologues, these emotional, I sort of.
Here we go.
platform moving kind of genre breaking movements of words and ideas that I guess really fulfill people's dreams and destinies as they sort of go throughout their day and they realize that, you know, there's more to life than just a 9-to-5 or a chocolate latte or a close relationship with a friend. I think it's about what's out there in the world beyond our own world.
That one's going to have Unchained Melody under that. But no, that's what it could be. We could call them the Hack Tracks.
What? Why?
What? That doesn't sound good.
Oh, no, just Reese having a hack at doing a monologue whilst we put a track under it.
Ah, right.
What about the Inspirationals? Yeah. No.
Those are backup monologuers who repeat certain great bits of the monologue in harmony.
Another inspirational moment brought to you by The Cryptid Factor and The Shameful Tiki Bar. 8 a.m. through till midnight, Thursday, Fridays. Try the Hurricane Frankie Special or Three Dots and a Dash. It'll do you right. Uber home. Don't forget, cups and t-shirts available at the gift shop. Volcanoes are real.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.